Kauai Concert Association announces the first concert of the season. Internationally acclaimed Trio Con Brio, Copenhagen. Thursday, November 20th at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Show begins at 7. That's classical music with pianos and string musicians, Trio Con Brio, Copenhagen. November 20th at the KCC Performing Arts Center. More information and tickets at 245-SING or online at kauai-concert.org.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Oh, thank you so much All for right. supporting Kauai
hey.
Community Radio.
Views
Radio.
And opinions. That's what we have here. Lots Radio. Of views and opinions.
Doing environmental issues that have are ongoing or taking place for sure on the island of Kauai and in the state of Hawaii, some.
Yeah.
As my favorite West Side environmentalist.
This is Gordon Labedz, and we're doing Kauai Earth Connection on the third Monday of every month, and it's good to be here again, and we're just going to review the kind of environmental conservation issues that happened over the last month for the next hour, and we're going to give our views and opinions, which are not necessarily the views and opinions of anybody but us, but they are going to have some news into it, and I hope you're interested.
We're not taking any calls because we've got a few things we'd like to cover, and all we want to do really is just inform and encourage you to
get involved,
and also, you know, to take time to look up this stuff. So we just want to plant the seed, really, is what we're doing. Thanks again to Diamond for a great show.
Oh, yeah, the Mischievous Mermaid show. We always come after
Electronica,
that.
That's what that is.
Electronica.
Electronica.
Like good show,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so we always start off with the Surfrider Foundation Blue Water Task Force water quality results. And these are a little different than usual. The good news is that the bulk of the places tested, about half of the places tested were normal. That's the good news. Prince Kuhio condos out at Poipu, the Waiohai condos out at Poipu are clean, salt pond clean. Kealia over in Kapa'a clean, Anahola clean, Kapa'a County Beach Park clean, Molawa'a pretty clean, Waimea River was only 30.
That's best, I think,
wow,
ever.
Wow, that's, yeah, their average is 183 for the year, which, the reason Waimea River is clean most of the time is because it doesn't rain much on the west side, and that the river doesn't flow out into the ocean. It's the water has been stolen by the reservoirs and that watered all that corn out there. So the river is kind of dry. It's not a real river.
It's not allowed to run free.
It's not allowed to run free. Yeah. What live free? Yeah. Yeah. So that's why Waimea River is clean. It shouldn't be clean. And after a rain, it's not clean. So Rock Quarry is, 63. That's not too clean. But so now we get into the red zone.
Ones that are over 100, which less than 10 is considered safe. But the Willy Stream, 108.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's good for no Willy Stream.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Yeah. I'm totally impressed.
That's where the little kids play with their moms, in that little thing over there by the picnic benches there by Duke's restaurant, no sign there that warns people. It's really sad.
Mm. Ooh, Waikoko's 350. Pakala's over on your side.
Yeah.
480.
That's par for the course for Pakala, 480. And later on I'm going to talk about diseases that can cause from cow poop and cow urine. I'm going to talk about that in the context of the dairy farm over in Maha'olepu. But the bad bacteria at Pakala Bay, which those of you who don't know, it's mileage marker 21. It's out on the west side. It's a really very, very, very popular surfing beach. Pretty much only surfers go there, but it's always dirty. Yeah. And then we have Kalapaki Bay.
512!
prettier than normal.
Unless they really got a lot of rain up up here. Pine trees, 520, and it, the year average or mean is 9.1, so yeah, they must have got
it. Obviously, it rained that day.
Yeah, Middles was 529. And then Kalihiwai.
644. Yeah. Wow.
644. Honolulu, which, you know, is always dirty, but it was exceptionally dirty this time. 1,334.
Yeah.
I remember less than 10 is considered 10. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's the moral of the story here is, and you know, the weathermen in Southern California would say this, never swim or surf after a major rain. Never swim or surf 24 to 48 hours after a major rain. And the reason is because the streams, in California, of course, they have no streams. They only have storm drains. But here, the streams are all dirty. So if it rains, I don't care how good the surf is or how much you want to swim in the ocean, it's dirty, and you're likely to get sick if you swim in that kind of water after a rain. And
if it's brown, turn around.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wainiha Stream, almost 2,000, 1,989.
Yeah, so it obviously rained.
Kalua Landing.
Yeah.
Always high.
Always dirty. Kalua Landing's over at the Poipu side, and it's we always say this, it's where the skin diving companies teach
scuba diving,
excuse me. And you know, I don't know what's up with that, but yeah, it's always dirty.
2,143.
And there's a lesson there too, because X-Man said if it's brown, turn around. Well, they teach skin diving there because it's not brown. You can see it's clear and crystalline and pristine, but the bacteria count is 2,143, and it averages 1,500. So just because the water's clear looking doesn't mean it's clean.
Got a bunch of bacteria happening in there. Niamalu did the jump. My goodness.
Whoa.
9,804.
Wow.
9,000.
Yeah, yeah. Clearly rained there.
Oh, my gosh.
Had to have rained.
And don't they do, like, kayak tours up that?
Yeah.
You know,
there's
probably a kayak tour happening that day, maybe.
That's an assumption. Beach. That's a beach that's always dirty. Niamalu is a beach you just don't want to go.
It averages well over 1,000.
Stay away from that beach.
And then the champion for the month. I think it's the worst.
It's the worst we've got.
We've ever had in 5 years.
Yeah. It's the Bull out in Hanalei Bay, which is a surfing break, and it's far offshore. So the fact that the bacteria reached all the way out there means it must have really rained.
12,997.
You know, it's like that's really bad. So. And I've got to think that was probably if it's brown, turn around kind of deal.
Crazy.
I don't. That's really.
Of course, our county and state never put up any signs or informed anybody of that. You know,
they call it brown water advisory on Oahu.
Yeah, over there. Yeah. But
well, they have to.
Yeah.
Funny how they don't do it over here.
Yeah. Flesh eating bacteria over there. Sometimes you got to really.
Right. If you fall in the water, there's some people that die.
Yeah.
It wasn't from drowning.
One of our water testers, I won't mention any names, but Dr. Carl Berg, got a staph infection from testing the water at Mahaulepu. You know, it's like,
wow.
Carl said, now this is personal.
I did notice that was that water test did not make the.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I'm not sure.
I was out of town, so I did not in the loop on the water tests. But I normally drive the water bottles into Lihue from the west side. So
for the samples.
I'm the Pony Express. I pick up all the water bottles on the way down.
Now, if a listener wants to go and check out, like, they've got a good 5 years worth, they can go to
surfrider.org/Kauai or KauaiSurfrider.org. The website for the Surfrider Foundation. Just go on the Blue Water Task Force, and it's all in there.
It's all right there if you want to check it out. Yeah. So especially if you're a tourist out there, you may want to check it out,
And just let's not be too negative here. I mean, most of the beaches are clean. All the beaches, especially the surfing beaches of PKs, Waiohai, Salt Pond, Kealia, Anahola, Kapa'a, Moloa'a, you know, they're all clean. But, you know, we've got some serious problems here. There's no question about it. I mean, especially after the rain.
Out of 21 beaches, 10.
This was not a good...
10?
Yeah, this was not
out of 21 are, you know, okay-ish.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is all the streams, every single stream and river on this island are full of bacteria. And, you know, for those of you who swim in rivers... Just keep your face out of the water. Don't get water in your mouth or in your sinuses or in your ears.
Oh, well, of course, everything looks bad if you remember it.
So yeah, moving along, yeah. Shall we move on? We've got a few tasks. It's 10 after 5 here, Kauai Earth Connection, news and commentary.
Yeah. News and commentary on the Kauai environment. We do this once a month, and we just kind of review all the different environmental issues, conservation issues that have gone on the last month. And this is Gordon Labeds, and I'm here with my guys here. And we're one of the things that came in front of the county council was an amendment or an alteration, I should say, of the beach setback law. And it was an interesting little dance. It's important to say that the county of Kauai has probably one of the best beach setback laws in the United States of America, and I'm going to give all the credit to our county council, but most of the credit goes to Joanne Yukimura, and she pushed that through and worked it through the system and got it through. And And it's a really good law, and it's complex and convoluted. But the bottom line is, you gotta kind of have to be back from the beach, around 100 feet back, and you have to calculate the rate of erosion and blah 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 blah. But the reason before a beach setback law is it prevents the building of seawalls. Seawalls are rocks, wood, cement, anything that tries to block the ocean from hitting the beach. And the reason you put a seawall up is to protect a road or property, because you built that road or property too close to the ocean, and now the ocean is going to wash it away. And the plantation masters, in their wisdom, built most of the roads away from the beach here on Kauai. And we're in pretty good shape. The road over there by Wailua River, of course, is on the beach, and that is really dumb. But and the roads out in Kekaha on the way to the cornfields and the military range out there is lined with rocks because that road was built too close to the beach. But there are really not that many seawalls here on Kauai, and the council, in their wisdom, and the mayor who signed it, our present mayor, or no, that was Brian Baptiste, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, we have this strong law. Well, they wanted to weaken it, which really surprised me. And what they wanted to do was give a break to homeowners who have properties on a rocky shoreline. If you have a rocky coastline, they wanted to make the setback only 40 feet from the ocean. The idea being, I guess, although, you know, the people who testified, I wasn't at the hearing, but the people who testified said, why do we want to change this law? Like, what's the purpose of it? And I think the purpose of it is to give a gift to people who want to build houses closer to the ocean, because they have a rocky cliff. And, you know, it's a slippery slope because rocky cliffs erode also. They don't erode as fast as a sandy beach, but the ocean will knock rocks around just the way they knock in. You know, in Aniki, the ocean just washed away houses, for God's sake. I mean, the ocean's pretty... It'll do whatever it wants to do. And to give a... To loosen up on this law, in my view, is not a good thing. And everybody who testified agreed that it was not a good thing. And the council quibbled and quabbled and tabled it. I'm hoping they just leave the law alone. Because obviously there are some homeowners that want to build a house closer to the beach, and they're lobbying the council to be more lenient to their property. And
I'm really surprised because they just fought for that for years up here on North Shore for the dealing with the vegetation, and now they want to go this route. You know,
you're not allowed. The Supreme Court of Hawaii says that you're not allowed to water the edge of the beach so that the plants grow on the sand, because that will take away the public's beach. The public owns the part of the beach that gets wet. The dry part of the beach is not owned by the public, but the wet part of the beach is, and that's called the vegetation line. And if you water naupaka, it'll grow out into the sand. Naupaka will basically steal the public beach. And I think she was a Sierra Club activist at the time. Karen Diamond took that to the Hawaii Supreme Court. It's Diamond versus the state of Hawaii. You know,
it was a long fight. There was a friend of ours was part of that journey through and success. So it's really Joanne Yukimura.
Yeah, so
introduced that one.
And all power to Joanne. I mean, I Joanne has been a career politician, and she's done a lot of good things for the environment. She's compromised quite a bit, and it reminds me of David Brower, the great environmentalist conservation leader. He always said, conservation leaders don't compromise. That's what we pay politicians to do. And it is true. You know, that's sort of what politicians have to do. So anyway, speaking of Joanne Yukimura, we're going right on to the next thing. And that is an environmental issue, that's probably close to a lot of people's heart, and that's traffic. And traffic has a lot of impacts. In a little island like this, it doesn't cause too much air pollution. But in a big city like Honolulu, traffic, when people are stalled on the freeways, the air gets markedly worse from all the fumes from the cars and the trucks. But for here, traffic is really just a time issue. It takes time to get from point A to point B. And lots of people say, well, what we need are bigger, wider roads with more lanes. And other people, Joanne Yukimura is another champion for this, and the council has been supportive, and so is the mayor, we could get people in buses and out of cars, and that would alleviate traffic. And that's also come in front of the council now, and I think it's an important issue that people need to follow, because the big issue, everybody's in favor of the bus, but everybody wants to make, when I say everybody, the council members want to make the bus affordable, and ergo it needs subsidies. It needs subsidies from taxpayers, and that's where are we going to get the money?
How about the raises they wanted?
Yeah, what is that? They had a lot of big raises, huh?
Well, they weren't huge, but they're all over. They already make over $100,000.
I don't know. You know, you want good people in government, so you want to pay them well. But boy, I'll tell you, I've been to the mayor's fundraisers, and they're all staffed by county employees. I mean, the bar is the firemen, and the kitchen is the waste management people, and it's like, I don't know about the ethics of all that, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. But the point is, let's get back to the bus thing. So you've got this bus, and it's really inconvenient. The bus stops, if it rains, you're going to get soaking wet.
Right, and there's no covered bus stops, or the ones hardly they have made that are 20 grand or whatever the price was.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. There's little, there's like a foot overhang on both sides of the bench that holds three people. It's
and they're inconvenient as hell. I mean, you got a 17-year-old stepdaughter, and she can't get around on those damn buses. I mean,
if you live up country, it's definitely a challenge. But even though you say it is inconvenient, it's gone up, the ridership.
That's right.
From 2005 to 2013. 2005, it was 187,000 people used it, and now in last year, there was 780-some thousand, you know.
Yeah.
So people are using it, you know, and yes, they need to expand it, and yes, it needs to be subsidized.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure, but it seems like, you know, of all things that need to be subsidized to pay for, the county could pay for it. That seems like a good one.
I think so. I favor buses, and I favor subsidy. You know, I lean towards the more small government libertarian end of the spectrum, but there's some things that I'm fairly comfortable in the government subsidizing, and roads and traffic are definitely a role for government. That's a government responsibility, and I'm glad I live on the west side. I don't know about you guys on the east side with all those cars over there in Kapaa. It's just like, wow, it's like Honolulu over there. And
well, for most houses, if you have a husband, a wife, and two teenage children that need to drive, you have four cars.
That's right.
In your driveway, sometimes more. So
yeah,
I was thinking about that the other day. Yeah,
yeah.
If we have a quarter, 100,000. We ever get to 70,000-80,000 people plus all the tourists. You got
all
a quarter million cars running around. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if we got that much space.
We don't, and it's really a problem. And what I've seen, I used to live in California 10 years ago, and I can tell you that when cars become silly, people take the bus. And no greater example is New York City or San Francisco, where it's just stupid to have a car. I mean, it costs $25-$30 to park the thing.
Yeah, but we're here now. We're on Kauai.
Yeah.
It's tough not to have a car because you got to go to the store.
You got
to. And this store. And you got to
drive
all. It's tough. You know, it'd be interesting to see. You know, my take on it is, you know, they averaged 28,000 tourists a day last year on Kauai. That's a lot of people.
Boy, it is.
And my friend who lives down in Hyena, he said, you know, up to 90% of all the rental cars go past his house on that one, you know, that narrow road out there, you know. And you live in paradise and, you know, you wait for cars.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that has to be given a lot of thought, you know, that the whole... As they build more and more hotels, I mean, did you see that thing where they want to build a great big resort in Princeville?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not that big, but it's another hotel.
Jesus Louise.
And then they want to build the Cocoa Palms again. And all those tourists, all those rental cars. Yeah, so, you know, it's something that it's good that it's in front of the council, and it's good they're talking about it and they're thinking about it.
Is our council up to the task of solving it?
I don't know. We'll see. We got a new council now. We'll talk about that later. But, yeah, it's the Kauai bus. How are they going to get the money? How are they going to make it convenient? How are they going to expand the service? La-di-da. There's a lot on their table, and I'm glad they're thinking about it.
But I'm glad it's on the thing. So moving along.
Yeah.
The Mahaulepu Dairy Farm and proposed resort over there. That's an ongoing saga.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy. I mean, that was just... first of all, let's talk about the dairy farm. That's a big deal. I mean, there's two groups out there. No, actually three. Three groups that are really working to oppose this dairy farm. One is Friends of Mahaulepu. Another is Malama Mahaulepu, which is an old group. Friends of Mahaulepu just started to focus just on the dairy farm. And then the Surfrider Foundation has been real active involved in the water testing end of it, especially.
Right, gathering the data to support. And, you know, there's been talk about making it a sanctuary.
Yeah, yeah. Another group, fourth group, Koholaleo, has been talking about making it a marine protected area, beach.
Thank you.
Boy, with all the controversy around it, it's like, oh, my God. So anyway, so the Surfrider Foundation, under the leadership of Carl Berg, Dr. Berg, and the Blue Water Task Force, has been testing the water out there at Mahaulepu Beach, and it's like the dirtiest water on the whole island.
By a long shot.
Well, unbelievably.
It's up in
good.
The 8,000 range.
Yeah, regularly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's got pesticides in the mud, and it's just, oh, my God, bad. And they haven't even done... the dairy farm yet. So you've got that whole thing going on, and I picked up this paper, it was like 10-page deal, at the Friends of Mahalalepu meeting that they held in Kaloa, and it's the zoonotic diseases of cattle. These are diseases that you get from cow poop, and I'm just going to read them off and maybe comment real quickly. One, the first one in alphabetical order is anthrax, not too common. Brucellosis is another one, it's not too common. Cryptosporidiosis is quite common. I wouldn't be surprised if we tested your stools right now today that you had crypto in your stools. That comes from cow poop. Dermatophyllosis. E. coli. E. coli is an interesting disease. It's an interesting germ because it lives in your bacteria. The bacteria lives in your colon. It's in your colon and in cow colon. But there's different kinds of E. coli. And there's a kind of E. coli called toxogenic E. coli, 0157H7, which will kill you. I mean, it's often fatal. And if you're a little kid, you can just die from it. And that comes only from cows. Toxogenic E. coli comes only from cows. So when people tell you, well, that's just cow poop, don't worry about it, it's not human poop, cow poop isn't going to hurt you, I'm sorry, you can get very sick. Giardias, I was a family doctor in my past life. I'm now retired from it, but if I tested your stools today, I wouldn't be surprised if you had Giardia in your stool. The cysts from it is real common. Leptospirosis is another one, very, very common. Listeriosis is pretty rare. You get it really from unpasteurized cheese more than cow poop. Pseudo cowpox, pretty rare. Q fever, not too common. Rabies is very rare. Ringworm is very common. Salmonellosis, oh my God, is that common? They get that mostly from chickens, though, but you can get it from cows. Tuberculosis, you can get from cows. And vesicular stomatitis, you can get from cows. That's a nice list. So don't anybody say, well, there's no human sewage there, it's just cow poop, don't worry about it. Because that's kind of the buzz at Pakala Bay, you know. Well, all those cattle, they're harmless. No, they're not. If you see cattle grazing on the beach, you're probably swimming or surfing in fairly polluted water. So a word to the wise on that. The other thing that needs to be said about Mahalalepu is Grove Farm announced that they've got plans to build a resort out there. Not Grove Farm, excuse me. The County Planning Department has drawn in Mahalalepu area as a place where Poipu Resort Visitor Destination Area is going to expand into. And you've got this group of conservationists that want to preserve that area and keep the beach natural and undeveloped. You've got Grove Farm, which is pushing agriculture, corn, GMO pesticide ag, and now a cow farm ranch, a very, very highly populated, intensive cow confined animal feeding operation. And a resort. You've got the Hyatt upset that they're going to build a cow farm, and they've sued. So it's something that we all need to pay attention to. Mahalalepu is a beautiful area on the south side that has been very largely impacted by agriculture, and potentially developed by now hotels. Phew! Lots going on there, and we'll keep you informed on this show on what the latest is. But right now, the Department of Health has still not given the dairy farm a permit yet, and they're looking into it. I know Dr. Burr flew to Oahu to meet with them and talk about the results of all the testing that the Surfrider Foundation has done down there. It's one of those deals. Stay tuned, You know, if you can support these groups, Malama Mahalalepu, the Friends of Mahalalepu, the Surfrider Foundation, if you can support them with your time or donations, please do, because it's an important part of the island that needs preservation, in my view.
All right.
It's 5:30 here at KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, and this is Kauai Earth Connection, and we'll be back right after a few announcements.
The Kakao Foundation Board of Directors, license holder for KKCR Kauai Community Radio, will hold its quarterly business meeting on
Monday, November 17th,
6 p.m. at All Saints Church Parish Hall in Kapa'a. All interested parties are welcome to attend. For more information, please call Steve, 652-3706.
All right, thank you so much for that, our illustrious leader. Also, I want to let you know there's two found dogs in Anahola. Two dogs, a small poi dog and a pit bull, and the small one is tan and white. Let me get some music going. There we go. Tan and white with a black collar, and the big one, the pit bull, is an older one, tan with expired tags. Nothing to say about the collar. Megan is the gal that has these dogs. Those are yours. This was in Anahola today. Looks like about 3:30 or so. And you can call 346-4406. Megan has your dogs. 346-4406. And if not, they will end up at the Humane Society tomorrow because they could not come get them today. If you have any questions, any of this information, you can give me a call, 826-7771 here at the station.
Right on.
Kauai Earth Connection.
Thanks for the
call. Yeah, news and commentary here.
Yeah.
And we got a few more things. We're going to move on to the repealing of the pesticide.
That was an interesting deal, wasn't it?
There was a little soap opera going on by our council. Raposo.
The old council.
Yes, that's true.
That's
sorry.
Right. Yeah.
Mel Raposo and Ross Kagawa.
Yeah.
Entered that. It was voted down. It was kind of a little soap opera, you know.
Would you call it sleazy? I don't know.
I'm not going to go too far into that.
This is news and commentary, remember.
That's true. Call what you like, sure.
What did they say in the beginning? And the opinions are not necessarily the staff and the la-di-da.
Management.
Yeah.
Underwriters.
This is Gordon Labeds, and we're giving our news and opinions on the Kauai environment and issues around the Kauai environment, and one of the biggest single issues on this island is pesticides.
Boy, they're everywhere.
Also known as poisons. Remember side. Side means to kill, suicide, homicide, genocide. You know,
right. And it's always on sale.
Yeah,
that's
right.
It blows me away. And our county and state spray it liberally all over. I mean, it's interesting that our county is fighting, is trying to force the chemical companies and Kauai Coffee to at least disclose their pesticide use. I think our county should reach across the table and do the same and disclose their pesticide use.
That's right.
I think that would be fine because drive up Olihana Road and it's just, oh my gosh, it's just... Or right there at the Opeka'a waterfall and the view over Wailua River, they spray it all right there so you could see the view, but it's all just death and poison.
You know, this is not a Kauai issue, but I was like... I attended the lectures out in Waimea by this professor. I forgot his name now. He was from the Midwest, a professor emeritus, and he was talking about the way they use Roundup. This was a lecture on Roundup, and they spray wheat just before they harvest it. They spray it with Roundup so it is easier to harvest, and it's like. Maybe all this gluten intolerance that people are saying they are getting may be Roundup intolerance. You know, it may not have anything to do with gluten. It might be all the Roundup they're spraying on our wheat. And it really makes you think, boy, maybe we should get organic bread and organic pasta and watch out for this wheat. Because even though wheat is, generally speaking, not GMO'd, it sure is Roundup'd. But that's a digression. We want to talk about the Raposo and Tagawa because these were the two highest vote getters, and they were the two most outspoken against the pesticide law. And you know they used they use the argument that this is not a county issue, it's a state issue. Are they in bed with the chemical poison companies? That's your choice. I don't know. But the argument they used was, well, you know, the county doesn't have the resources to limit and regulate pesticides, and they wanted to vote against it. So the little dance that happened was Raposo put in that he wanted to repeal the law, and Tagawa was going to second it, and he said that he put in this repeal right when October or something, when the law just passed, and there was a little dance, and it turned out that he had just done it a couple of weeks ahead of time, and he got kind of caught in a little fib, and Gary Hooser nailed him on it, and he walked out of the meeting, and there was a little drama, and he didn't vote. It was only Tagawa that voted, so it got shot down 5-1. So it didn't happen. But the thing is still in court. This very, 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 in my opinion, very, very, very weak pesticide law. Was challenged by the chemical companies, and the judge ruled in favor of the chemical companies and said exactly what Tagawa and Raposo were saying, and Mayor Carvalho also said the same thing, is that this is not a county issue, it's a state issue. So the county is taking it to court, and so are the conservation community, Earth Justice, who's one of the plaintiffs is the local Surfrider Foundation chapter. They're also defending the law and saying, yes, it is legal. So it'll go to the higher courts and it'll be decided there. So the law was not repealed, but it's still not in effect because it's in the courts right now, tied up in litigation. So more, you'll stay tuned and we'll keep you informed on that one. I think that it's important to talk about the elections. In general, in my opinion, the elections, the environment got whipped. Nature bats last on this one. We didn't do well. We, the conservation environmental community, didn't do well in this last election. But there's one really bright spot, one amazingly bright spot, and that was the election on Maui. Wowzer. I mean, the biggest single financial campaign in the history of Hawaii, $8 million they spent, the chemical companies spent to defeat the Maui initiative to limit GMOs. And it was really just a moratorium. It's a stronger law than the law on Kauai, but it's still a pretty weak law. It just says we want to be sure it's safe before you do it. So we want you to look at it before you do it, which is pretty reasonable. And the chemical companies on Channel 2 would run a half-hour show 3-4 times a day explaining why it was the end of the world as we know it if this initiative passed. I mean, they put so much money into more than the senator, more than the Congress, more than the governor race. $8 million, and they lost anyway, which to me just shows you the power of grassroots, the power of the people, and it just like wow.
But then the power of the government, because they're not going to do it.
No, but you know, I remember one of the commentators on election night said, you know, this guy Dustin Barca, he got 37% of the vote. That's pretty damn good for somebody who you never heard of, and the guy's just come out of nowhere, you know. And he said, this GMO issue is not going away soon. And I'm going to quote David Brower again, because he had a quote which I live by, which is, constant pressure endlessly applied. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Every one of these is another brick in the wall. And I think we've reached a tipping point on this GMO thing. The labeling GMO in Oregon is in a vote count right now, whether it won or not. And I think the tide has turned. I think people are fed up with chemical poisons, and we're taking a stand. So we'll see. You know, the Maui election, of course, got the chemical companies got their attorneys together and went right in and sued them again right away and went to the judge, the same judge that knocked down the Kauai law.
He's well paid for it.
Same guy. You know.
How interesting.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, you know, we'll see what the Supreme Court says, you know. But I just a shout out to those folks on Maui. They call themselves the Shaka Movement. I forgot what Shaka stands for, but...
Yeah, I did too.
Good for them, you know.
Well, they were a good bunch of guys, you know. They smelled a little like bait, but, oh, they was a good bunch of guys.
Yeah, they were good, man. And, you know, this is as the guy on election night said, this campaign is not even close to being over. So
I'd like to know how many lawsuits Monsanto and the GMO folks are in throughout the world. You know,
wouldn't that
be a neat number to know? Because... Boy, lawyers aren't cheap, and
they
must have just an amazing bank of lawyers on their payroll. I mean, wow.
I remember the Surfrider Foundation, this is maybe 5 years ago or maybe more, showed a movie out in the Waimea Theater on the West Side called The World According to Monsanto. And if you ever get a chance to see that movie, wow, it's an old movie now, but what a sleazy company. Oh, my God. I mean, they go after indigenous tribes in Mexico and professors in Berkeley, and they're just merciless in their just going after people who oppose them or, you know, stand up to them. You know, I'm not saying all the GMO companies are like that, because some of them are and some of them aren't, but Monsanto is particularly aggressive.
Got an interesting business model.
Yeah, it does.
Right. So moving along, we've got 20 minutes left. We'll see what comes our way this evening for 6 o'clock. It's either Can You Dig It Jazz or Sunset Jazz. We're not sure yet. We'll let you know when it happens. That's 18
minutes
away.
Yeah, well, let's just power through the election. As I said, my take on...
Can You Dig It Jazz? Brother Rich is smiling through the window.
I love jazz. Thank you. You know, I don't know what more to say about the election, except that my view is that Dustin Barca ran a great campaign, got outspent 3-1, and did really, really well. My wife ran against Bernard the last election, and she didn't spend any money, and but Dustin spent a little bit of money, and he did darn well, and I'm proud of him. He ran a good campaign, and I hope he runs again. I hope he stays involved. Thank you, Dustin Barca. And, you know, the chemical company guys won, basically. I mean, we got Daryl Kaneshiro in there, who Daryl is a nice man. I talked to him about marine protected areas in Mahalepu. But he's a representative of Grove Farm.
Seems like he'll have to rescind himself out of...
a lot of votes, I hope.
It seems like. So.
It seems so, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mel Raposo and Ross Gagawa won the most votes. But the good news is Gary Hooser is still on the council.
Joanne Yukimura
is still on the council. Mason Chalk still on the council.
It's going to be exciting. If I could make a request to all those people that ran for election, if they could take down their non-recyclable plastic signs.
Take their signs
the
down.
Election's over. I've noticed there's been a, you know, I don't see any Gary Hooser, Felicia Cowden. And,
that's right.
I see a lot of Arthur Bruin.
Yeah, Arthur, take your signs down, dude.
Kali,
something to think about, something to consider.
Yeah, well, it's over, you know.
Yeah.
We saw them for months and months and months. Please take them down.
And I believe that's the law, no? I think there's a law about signs and blah, blah, blah.
It's not supposed to be. Yeah. It's supposed to be on private property. It's supposed to be so far away from the road. Those have been consistently violated. So,
yeah, by everyone.
You know, they're well on their way.
That's true. Yeah.
It isn't like you wouldn't know who to talk to.
Yeah. right. They probably have a website. So anyway, I'm glad it's over with. Thank goodness. Phew.
And we're talking. You know, I want to just say something about our new governor. Our new governor is Abercrombie, the conservation community did not support Abercrombie. The environmental community did not support him. He burned us on too many issues. On the other hand, I got to say, Neil made some good appointments, some very good appointments, and one of them was the head of the DNLR, William Isla, and another one was Gary Gill, the head of the Department of Health. And I'm sure hoping that David Ige keeps those guys in. Now, did they, you know...
He could take his signs down, too.
David Ige's signs are still up, too? Yeah, well... Yeah, and, you know, Tulsi Gabbard has been pretty good on the environment, and I give a big feather in her cap for writing a letter to the Navy asking them about the military's impact on the ocean. That was really cool. Thank you, Tulsi Gabbard, our congresswoman. Brian Schatz has been a champion on global warming and got the Sierra Club support because of his standing up on the global warming issue. So, you know, we could have done worse. We could have done worse. Here's another David Brower. David Brower was my mentor, and I'm full of quotes. But he always said, the best politicians there are the ones in office right now. And those are the ones we have to deal with. All right, so we gotta move along. We're still talking about the conservation and environmental issues on the island of Kauai for the last month. This is Gordon Lebeds, and we're running out of time. But I think it's important to say that the Hawaiian humpback whale sanctuary is going to come out within the next month or so with their management plan, their new management plan, and it's. I guess I don't have time to talk about it, but they've come up with a few rules. Not much. Nobody on Kauai is going to be too interested in it, I don't think, even though the fishermen were really, really concerned and worried about it. It doesn't look they're going to affect any kind of fishing issues or access issues on Kauai. And when it comes out, we'll talk about it some more. So that's the Hawaiian humpback whale sanctuary, which really doesn't affect much of Kauai. It's just the area around Hanalei Bay and the lighthouse up there. That's coming up. I think one of the things we wanted to talk about was this water deal out in the west side. Our utility company has a plan.
Very big plan.
You're going to make the plan. Do you have that thing from Bernie?
I do.
Play that thing.
Bernard.
The mayor.
Mayor Bernie, I call him. Yeah, well, he's Bernard. He calls himself Bernie. That's
yeah, but we
name.
Don't call him Bernie.
I call
we
him.
We call him Bernard.
Well, you could.
When I say Bernie, I give him a big bear hug. Come on. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He means well. He's trying. Yeah. So.
Well.
All right. Okay. All right. So, KIUC has this problem that all of us want to get off their system and get solar on our roofs, because the reason we want to do it is because we're concerned about the gasoline that they burn, the diesel fuel that they burn in their power plants, and we're concerned that that diesel fuel is a major source of global warming and climate change. And the reason we want to do it is because KIUC's rates are so high, and we want to have a cheaper electricity.
Well, I don't think that'll ever go down.
No,
because we have to pay for these millions of dollar projects.
Yeah.
This particular one, they want to... the water over on the west side.
Yeah. So the goal is they got to figure out a way to store electricity when the sun's not shining. So they could use batteries. There's a couple other technologies they could do. But one of the most common ways is to pump water uphill during the day.
Use their solar power to pump water
uphill.
Okay.
And then let it run downhill at night, turning turbines to make hydropower.
How much solar energy will it take to pump the water up the hill? I mean, will that be a similar... I mean, it
I
seems like
know.
They're going to be two steps forward, three steps back kind of thing.
It's really how much confidence you have in KIUC's staff and engineers, you know. I mean, I hope they've done the math.
The millions of dollar project.
You know, it's and anytime, you know, I'm a guy that spent my entire environmental career protecting rivers and streams. Because when I became a coastal activist when we started the Surfrider Foundation 30 years ago, one of the things I learned immediately was the biggest single impact on the beach is rivers and streams. And if you screw up rivers, streams, and wetlands, you screw up the beach, and here in Hawaii, the reefs. And they're messing with our rivers and streams up there on the west side, and they've been severely messed up by the plantations and now the corn, the chemical companies. So, you know, it's just another headache that we've got to keep an eye on them and make sure that they maintain some water in these streams and rivers, which so far they have not. It's been pretty sad.
You know? Right. It's a $50 to $60 million project.
That too, yeah.
How's that going to pay for itself?
Yeah, it's a lot of money, and so. I don't know. So, yeah, so that's the KIUC deal. And, you know,
it was okayed by the DLNR with a vote of 6-1.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the committee that went through that.
Yeah,
the board.
It's the board of the DNLR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources State Board. And, you know, it's one of these trade-offs. Well, one of the things I found, I have a lot of solar. I have 6.5 kilowatts on my roof. And one of the things I find is that I waste electricity because I have solar. And, you know, it's like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, it doesn't cost me anything. And I think that the whole question of expensive electricity on this island has made us one of the most energy conservation conscious islands in the state, and that's a good thing. You know, I think cheap energy means we waste it, just like we waste cheap water, we waste cheap energy, we waste anything that's cheap. And you know, all of a sudden one day it's gone. Look at California, they've been wasting water like crazy all these years, and now they are not getting any rain, and they're in deep trouble. 30 million people are going to have to figure out how to grow those crops and how to water their lawns. So, yeah, that's kind of the KIUC story. So we've covered the water quality test from the Surfrider Foundation. We talked about the beach setback law and the 40 feet changing from 100 feet, how that's probably not a good idea. We've talked about the Kauai bus and how it needs to be expanded and funded some way properly, the Maha'aulepu Dairy Farm and the proposed resort there. Raposo and Tagawa are trying to repeal the pesticide law, but the judge trying to repeal the pesticide law here on Kauai and on Maui, the successful campaign that Maui folks did, even in spite of the $8 million that the chemical companies put in. We talked a little bit about the election and the Hawaiian Humpback Whale Sanctuary Management Plan, the KIUC solar scheme to pump water back uphill and then run it downhill and run hydro. So, you know, we've covered a lot of things. We want to just, we got just not much going on this November, but there is Kohala Leo, Whale Voice. WhaleVoice.org is having their monthly movie at the Kapa'a Library on the fourth Friday, November 24th, the fourth Friday at 7 p.m. at Kapa'a Library. They're going to show Blue Planet, Tidal Seas and Coasts, and it's a free movie. They do it every month, and I urge you to attend that. There was a couple other things I wanted to talk about. There was a water law conference that was at the Kauai Community College, and they spent about half a day talking about the water law. And there's a lot of good laws on the books that protect water, but it takes a pretty smart lawyer to figure all that out. I mean, I went to the conference, and at the end of the day, I was going, well, we got some good laws, but I don't follow any of it. It's pretty complex. But that was, thank you for the University of Hawaii Environmental Law Program for putting that on for us. And that's it. All right. We did it. Thank you for listening. And this is Kauai Earth Connection, Gordon Labedz, and we'll see you next month.
December?
The third Monday of December, whatever the
December
heck that
15th.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. See you then, and we'll talk to you then.
All right. And Cousin Rich is getting ready. Can you dig it, Jazz? 5 minutes away. We're going to leave you off with a... Rise of the Purple Sage. So, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
To my favorite West Side environmentalist.
We did it again.
Appreciate it. Thanks for putting this all together and informing the public.
Yeah.
So, what's that famous quote?
Constant pressure, endlessly applied. That's my slogan.
All right. There we go, folks.
That's David Brower.
If you go down around the bend in the river, find a few changes in going down there. 'Cause the people who live round the bend in the river have forgotten their dreams and they've cut off their can't feel the fear. Remember the boy who you left on the mountain, who's sitting alone with the stars in his tears. And take a
thank you, Yakadus, and thank you, gang, for another great show. Always great to see you.